All right, nice to have you back here. A lot of fun having Paul White on and Brandon Crawford. And now we're joined by Steve Stewart in his 10th year as part of the Royals radio broadcast team. He's got a World Series ring. I just looked at. Very nice. And a pleasure having you here. Hi, Steve.
Marty, it's great to see you. Great to have the Giants here today. We have a split squad, actually. The Giants made the long drive over from beautiful old town Scottsdale. Love that area where you guys train. But always great to see the Giants. As disappointing as 14 was for Royals fans to lose Game 7 of the World Series, it's still a very, very fond memory because that was such a magical postseason for us.
It was a great World Series.
It really was.
It went seven games and Tim Hudson going
right
in the
right down
last
to the end, just kind of like last year where it went Game 7 right down to the wire, same deal.
Yeah, very good. And I have a soft spot for Kansas City. And, you know, going back to, you know, when the A's were Kansas City A's, and of course the beginning of the Royals and everything that went on there and the new stadium and George Brett and, you know, everything. It's really, before we get into this team, it's really a storied franchise, really, the way they started and the success they had.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, the Giants have a much, much longer history. You know, we started in 69, so this is our 49th year as a franchise. And, you know, you got a couple of world championships and four pennants. Now, nothing against the other, but the same year the Royals were born, three other franchises, the Padres, the Montreal Expos, and the Seattle Pilots, who became the Brewers a year later. None of those other teams have won a World Series yet.
Yeah.
And the Brewers have been to one, the Padres have been to a couple, the Expos / Nationals, partly thanks to the Giants, haven't been to one yet either. So looking at it from that perspective as an expansion team, even with a long, long drought that went on in Kansas City for quite a while, it's been a pretty successful franchise.
And tremendous games in the 70s with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you,
but
for those Yankee teams, you may have had six pennants or something like that.
If the Royals, you know, Dan Quisenberry became this great closer for the Royals, and if they would have brought him up sooner, they didn't really believe in him, I don't think, early on in the minors because he threw such a funky submarine motion and so forth. If they would have had a closer, one or two, like this, Denny Matthews, who's been with the Royals since 69, he's in his 49th year as the lead radio voice for us, so he remembers the 77 season very well. He says to this day that was the best Royals team that he's ever seen. Now, that team lost to the Yankees in the LCS, but he, you know, the Whitey Herzog will tell you to this day, Denny will tell you, if they had a closer then, like they did a couple years later, they probably would have maybe had a couple more titles.
Sounds like the Giants
of last year.
Mark Littell, was that, I think, didn't
Mark Littell came along, he was part of it.
He gave up the Chambliss home run, if I'm not mistaken.
So it was, it's fun to be back, and it's fun to look, this game, there's not you can't beat baseball when it comes to history and memories, it's just unbelievable.
All right, Steve Stewart with us, 10th year as part of the Royals radio broadcast team. Tragedy for this team over the winter. Jose Fernandez with the Marlins last year, Yordano Ventura passing away over the winter. What is the effect on the ball club and just your thoughts about it?
Well, I mean, it was stunning. I mean, this was a guy, Giants fans will remember Game 6 of that World Series. The Royals needed to win that game to force a Game 7. And I always say regarding World Series, there's something special, even the loser of a Game 7 in the World Series. You know, obviously you want to win it, but if you got to Game 7, to some degree, it's a coin flip. Now, obviously, Madison Bumgarner changes things, but he got us to that Game 7, pitching seven scoreless innings as at that time a 22 or 23-year-old. And the sad thing was we were in San Francisco when Oscar Tavares died, the Cardinal outfielder, who was best buddies with Yordano, and Yordano pitched that night in memory of his friend who had died, sadly, tragically, ironically, in an automobile crash in the Dominican. And so it was very moving, that whole sequence. And here's a guy that, you know, people on the field saw at times temper flare up. He had a little bit of that Joaquin Andujar, one tough Dominican. He was a very tough-minded, very focused athlete, but he was maturing. He was just 25, and he was on the ascendancy. I mean, there was a real thought that, you know, he was just about to take off. I mean, everybody in baseball knew he could throw 100 miles an hour, but he was a very fierce competitor. He worked very hard. He was very dedicated. And, you know, we'll never know how great he could have been, but he was obviously a big part of Royals history. So that was shocking, saddening. It was awful. It was a couple weeks before our fan fest that we have in late January in Kansas City. So timing-wise, after the horrible news, it was sort of nice within a week or two after that, most of the team gathered in Kansas City to meet with the fans and so forth, so they had a memorial service for him there. Of course, the team is wearing, you know, his nickname was Ace, not because he had become a 20-game winner every year, but Ace Ventura, you know, the movie. Okay. But, and I mean, he could have been a potential ace down the road. But so there's Ace 30 is the little patch they're wearing on the uniforms. There's a sign above the door in the clubhouse going in and out. His locker, of course, is staying empty this year. His number 30 not being worn, of course. But the to their credit, the Royals front office and their ownership, I mean, we all know we're a small market team, and yet our owner, David Glass, has really stepped up these last few years. And they went out, and Jason Hamill was the best pitcher left out there, and they went and grabbed him, and they got him for a two-year deal. We're going to see him today. He's going to make his Royals debut today at the most two innings. It's his first start. But he's, you know, he won 15 games for a world champion last year. Wasn't on the postseason roster, but he's thrilled to be here. We're thrilled to have him. And then we went out and signed Travis Wood, the lefty from the Cubs, who can either be a fifth starter or be a kind of a deadly lefty, especially against lefties, out of the bullpen. They also went and got Brandon Moss to be the DH. Of course, the A's fans will remember he really kind of discovered himself, so to speak, while with Oakland, where he kind of got that uppercut in his swing and became a home run hitter. So he's going to be our DH a lot of the time, not every single day, because he can play some field too, first base, corner, outfield. So it's a team. So many teams can say this, but in our case, it really comes down to health. We got to keep our guys healthy. All the baseball world knows we have several pending free agents on this team. We don't know who we're going to keep, who we're going to lose. Moustakas, Hosmer, Kane, among those who could walk after the year. We certainly hope that at least a couple of those guys they're able to keep won't be easy. But last year, Moustakas, who's going to – I think he's DH. I forgot. I wrote the lineup down. Is he in there? I can't remember. Because I wrote his name down. No. Okay, he's not in there today. No. He's DHing right now. And then he's going
to – Vallet is the DH.
Okay, that's right. Chase Vallow, who's a minor leaguer. But the point is we miss Moose for most of the year. He plays with a fire, and so does Kane. They both bring a fire quarter to the field in the clubhouse. They're great teammates, but they have gravitas, so to speak, that some of the younger guys may not have. And we lost Kane at critical points last year, too. And so the hope for our fans, I think, and our people is some of those key guys, keep them healthy, and we have a chance to have a really good season, even with the Indians, who obviously are a very good team in our division, and not to mention the Tigers.
Closer? Well, what about closer? Because
closer, Kelvin Herrera. Giants fans remember when we had Herrera and Davis and Holland in our bullpen. Herrera was only the seventh inning guy then, but he was really the hardest throwing of the three.
Yeah.
And, of course, Holland is now with the Colorado Rockies, and Davis we traded to get Jorge Soler from the Cubs, and Davis was in a contract year. So Herrera is going to close. The bullpen will be a little bit mix and match, which is not necessarily bad news because there's a lot of good arms down there. So we don't know. The roles are not set in stone right now other than the ninth inning with Kelvin Herrera.
Well, a great report. We'll see Jonathan Sanchez today. That's our Jonathan Sanchez.
Yes, indeed. No-hitter and World Series ring from 10, I think, was he was there
until the Philly meltdown.
Yeah, he
was terrific. And
Jonathan kind of had an up-and-down tenure with the Royals. Now, he's been out of baseball a couple of years, but our scouts saw him at a showcase event or something where he was 92, 93, 94 at times, and some magic had returned. And, a lot of times for pitchers, you take a year or so off. It's amazing how your body can regenerate and good things can happen. Now, he's on a minor league deal. He's competing with a whole bunch of other veteran big leaguers like a Bobby Parnell, Al Albuquerque, Chris Withrow. Remember with the Dodgers how good he was before his Tommy John? These guys are all in camp. Basically fighting maybe for one spot in the bullpen. The rest will either go to our AAA club or wind up somewhere else. But they definitely all have good resumes, and why not bring them in, see what they got.
Well, it's great to have you on. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're coming over to Scottsdale. We'll be at Scottsdale tomorrow.
We'll do this again tomorrow.
That'd be great, yeah.
But the image lasts for me. Salvador Perez just popping that ball up. Sandoval catching it and falling down. Alex Gordon... Juan Perez kicking the ball and Blanco. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget that end of that game.
Royals fans go over that like the Zapruder film. I tell you, they've gone over it so many times. There's so much debate. Should they have sent him? Should they have not? They all knew what kind of arm Crawford had. Our third base coach, Mike Jersey, sure knew what a great arm Brandon Crawford had. And he said, I would have been fired if I would have sent him. He would have gotten him by 30 feet.
Right.
But everybody else, you know, because we'll never know the other side of that. The one time out of 100, you make a poor throw and something happens there. But it was an outstanding World Series. And always great to see you guys and all the Giants folks.
Beautiful. Steve Stewart. And maybe we'll catch you tomorrow.
Okay, Marty.
All right, that's Steve Stewart from the Royals broadcast. More coming up, KMBR 680, the Sports League.